Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Genesis Boyne. My name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here. And today we are in our final week of a series that we're calling Next. And the idea for this series really is we're all starting 2019 together. And we want to start that by answering a question. How do we handle what comes next in our lives? The next big thing. Because it's always coming. You might have a birth, like we just talked about, or a death, moving, graduations, new jobs, illnesses, on and on and on we could go. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But we have to be prepared for what's next in our lives. And the tough part about that is Proverbs 27:1 says, we don't know. We don't know what the next day is going to bring. So how do we prepare for that? Well, I mean, the easy answer is, you could just trust God. But we've found that you start polling people, we often don't. Why? It all boils down to one word, and that's fear. Fear is defined as a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain, whether the threat is real or it's just imagined. So we fear what's next. And that causes us to start to lose focus on God. And the frustrating part is that we tend to isolate ourselves when this starts to happen. When we have a next and we start to fear, we start to doubt God. And the reason that we do it is, it's often when we look around this room and we see how others behave. We have a tendency to look and go, oh man, why can't I just trust God as well as they do? Why am I struggling with doubt? Why am I struggling with worry or insecurity? They don't seem to be struggling with it. We don't want to seem like weak Christians. We certainly don't want to say or act like we don't trust God. I mean, what type of terrible Christian would that make us? So we start to bury it. We don't want everybody looking down on us. They're probably going to judge us. We start to bury it. And we bury it deep. And then what happens, our burying, it starts to make us feel lonely. Because we can't really open up to anybody. You know, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know if God's got this under control. We start to feel like we're worthless. We're burying it because we can't get it together. And everybody else seems to have it together. Some of them, oh man, they're going through something worse than I am. They seem to have it all together. So I was thinking about that and praying about it over the last couple of weeks, those struggles that we deal with. And God really opened my eyes to a cool piece of information. I was using my Bible app. I use it a lot of times to do devotionals, part of my time with God, read scripture, sometimes watch videos. And last week, the Bible app released their annual statistical survey summary of 2018. Now, you guys know I love statistics. So I was like, forget reading the Bible. I'm going statistics. I was like, all super excited about it because obviously that's how my life works, and I need to seek some help for that. But anyway, something that was encouraging about that, reading their statistics, their app said that they had over 27 billion chapters of the Bible read on their app alone. That's not people reading it manually. That's not it, people reading it online. That's not people listening to it. That's not people reading it on other apps. 27 billion chapters on their app alone. But the thing that I found just fascinating was out of the 27 billion chapters read, do you know what was the most shared, most bookmarked, and most highlighted verse in America? Well, you probably say something like, oh, I bet it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Such a great message in there, that God loved us and he gave us Christ to sacrifice. Now we can have eternal life in him. Maybe it's 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That is such a huge piece of how we understand God, that God loves us, that God has sacrificed for us, that God wants us to be with him. Those are both great verses, but neither of them are it. Out of the 27 billion chapters, the number one verse shared, highlighted, marked to remember in our country was this one, Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid. Don't fear, for I am with you. You don't have to be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. That's what people in our country are struggling with. That's what we need to highlight, need to constantly be reminded of. And you might say, yeah, I know, but Americans, they've got their problems. They just struggle with anxiety. They probably need to work on it. Except for the fact that I also looked, and it was the number one verse in France, in Spain, in Chile, in the Netherlands, in Peru, in South Africa. Another verse that came up, high frequency, 1 Peter 5:7. Give all of your fears, or give all of your anxieties, give all of your worries and cares to God, because God cares about you. Now you put the map up, we've added these 12 countries to it. We're starting to see some significant coverage. Most of the Americas hit these two verses. But here's the number one verse in the world, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. I know what's coming next. They are plans for good. They are not plans for disaster. They are plans. Your next is going to be a future and a hope. We add that one. It's a whopping 29 countries. They only were able to survey 88 countries. So we're looking at well over 75% of the countries that they surveyed hit those three verses, dealing with worry, dealing with fear, dealing with struggling with what is next. I could keep going all day with this, but you're seeing the pattern. A couple of minutes ago, we said, what type of terrible Christian would you be if you struggle with trusting God? Judging on that, you'd be the same terrible Christian that all of us are. You're not alone in this. I'm not alone in this. America's not alone in this. Fear is what humanity struggles with day in and day out. I was overwhelmed when I saw this map. And we're all dealing with the same stuff. It's the focus of our minds. It's the focus of our hearts, trying to figure out how to deal with this life. And the Bible knows that. The Bible knows that fear tends to run and often ruin our life. That's why it's mentioned in nearly every single book of the Bible. In fact, the Bible talks about dealing with fear over 300 times. A couple of examples of that. You'll see this as a common theme if you read through Scripture. Genesis 15:1, do not be afraid, Abraham. 2 Chronicles 20:15, listen, King Jehoshaphat, he should be in charge. He should know what's going on. But this is what the Lord says to him. Don't be afraid. Joel 2:21, don't be afraid, the entire country, the land of Judah, don't be afraid. Luke 1:30, don't be afraid, Mary, that's mother of Jesus. Matthew 28:5, the angel said to the women, don't be afraid. Why in the world would the Bible keep repeating the same line over and over again? It's because we keep doing it. That's why it's the number one verse in every single country. Do not be afraid. And there are three main ways that we tend to struggle with fear. First, fear has a tendency to come from ignorance. In week one, we tackled this idea of how we struggle because we want to be smart. We want to be in the know. We want to have all the facts lined out so we can make good, informed decisions. But even the smartest person in the entire world can only know so much. When we're talking about like this cosmic, eternal level, we don't know what's going to happen, and it drives us crazy. The ignorance, the fear that comes from ignorance, well, how do we combat that? We combat it with understanding. Now, that's not to be mixed up with knowledge. Knowledge and understanding are actually quite different. We can't have ultimate knowledge, but we can understand that someone does. 1 John 3:20, God knows everything. That's comforting. That's a release. So we can now learn to fight our ignorance. And here's two ways that we often can fight our fear of ignorance. The first is that we understand that we don't know everything. Sometimes that's a little bit hard for us, but it's true. We don't know everything. The second is that we can accept that God does have ultimate knowledge. So if we can do those two things, we can begin to combat our fears of ignorance. Unfortunately, ignorance isn't the only way that we struggle with fear. It often combines with our week two topic, which is fear that comes from doubt. And doubt is simply defined as to lack confidence in. So if we doubt God, we're saying we lack confidence in him. And if we lack confidence in him, who are we trusting? Trusting ourselves. That's such a weird, twisted, like ugly answer that nobody wants to give. But when we doubt God, it's because we think we know better than God. So we doubt his decisions. Quite frankly, we don't trust him. We don't know what he's doing. We are not sure if he's really looking out for us the way that he should. We think we probably know better. So we don't trust God. And we looked at biblical examples of Thomas, Sarah, Job, and others who all struggled with doubts, struggled to have confidence in God. And some of them even doubted God when they saw him face to face, when they saw him perform huge miracles, when they talked with him. They still doubted. So how do we combat that? How do we combat our doubt on whether or not God really cares or he knows what he's doing? Well, the way that we combat our doubt is with faith. So where doubt is a lack of confidence, faith is confidence. Faith is confidence that God is and God will do what he promised to do. And one of the best ways to have faith is for us to be able to look at God's record thus far. So to have confidence that God will do what he promised to do, we can turn back and see what God has done already. Maybe in our lives, maybe in the history of the Bible. Time and time again, it turns out God actually did know what he was doing the entire time. He even knew better than us. Oh, and you kind of like chuckle about it, but it just comes as a surprise to us. We're like, oh, wow, God really did know what he was doing. We struggle with that. But in every single case, God is and God will do what he promised. He did what he said. He wasn't lying. He wasn't as incompetent as we sometimes paint him out to be. But it's still hard. Sometimes you get that next thing and it comes up and it is just huge. And you're just like, oh, I want to trust. I'm having a problem, though. Which means we can go to our second thing, which is just ask for help. James 1:5 says it this way. If you need wisdom, ask. Ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Wisdom in other places is defined as if you need faith, if you need help, if you need hope, just ask. So we have fear that comes from our ignorance. We have fear that comes from our doubt. And then the third and final area where fear has a tendency to come from is worry. This is actually the number one answer that people give as to how they don't trust God. They worry. And for me, it's shocking how these three answers create this, like, fear monster. I mean, think about how they all build together. You worry because you have ignorance on an issue that's coming next. Then you start to doubt whether or not God can control it, which makes you worry even more, which makes you then think, well, maybe you should figure it out instead of God. So it's like this fear vortex that just starts to swirl around us and we get caught up in it. And I can tell you, we love to worry. We worry so much that a lot of us lose sleep. We worry so much we can't focus on our daily chores. We worry so much it consumes us and it consumes our lives, and sometimes it consumes the people around us. And it's not that we just worry about one particular area and the rest we can let go. No, we worry about everything. We worry about things that might happen. We worry about things that might not happen. Sometimes we even worry about things that probably won't ever happen, but we feel like we should probably worry about them just in case. Because remember, fear is an emotion brought on whether the threat is real or it's just imagined. Our little fear component in our brain just gets out of control sometimes, and it reminded me of this clip from the movie Inside Out.
We're supposed to live here?
We have
I'm telling
to.
You, it smells like something died in here.
Can you die from moving?
Guys, you're overreacting. Nobody is dying.
A dead mouse!
Ah, great.
I'm gonna be sick.
The house of the dead, what are we gonna do? We're gonna get rabies!
Get off my man!
Hey, hey, hey. All through the drive, Dad talked about how cool our new room is.
What was that? Was it a bear? It's a bear!
There are no bears in San Francisco.
I saw a really hairy guy. He looked like a bear. Oh, I'm so jumpy. My nerves are shot!
Ew, I don't want to hear about your nerves.
Almost finished with the potential disasters. Worst scenario is either quicksand, spontaneous combustion, or getting called on by the teacher. So as long as none of those happen...
Okay, everybody. We have a new student in class today.
Are you kidding me? Out of the gate? This is not happening!
Riley, would you like to tell us something about yourself?
No! Pretend we can't speak English!
Don't worry, I got this.
We worry about things. Quicksand, spontaneous combustion, bears in San Francisco. And you kind of laugh about it, but you do the same thing. You worry about these crazy, ridiculous things. I mean, let's go to recent memory. How many of you guys potentially, you don't have to raise your hands, I don't want you to have to admit your guilt in this, but you spent the month of December worrying about a present that you were getting somebody? Is this the right one? You look and you spend hours and there's hundreds of DVDs and you got to choose the right one. You got to choose the right toy. We get all worked up. Christmas is such a huge worrying season. And then it turns out the present was just fine. And odds are your kid's already broken it or forgotten about it. Like, that's the way things happen. We get all worked up about things that may happen, may not happen. Spontaneous combustion. But here's the thing. No matter how the giving the present goes, they love it, they hate it, your being worried isn't going to make a difference in it. You know this. God knows this. And that's why he reminds us when he says in Matthew 6:24, can all of your worries add one single moment to your life? All your worrying combined, it doesn't help. In fact, it affects us negatively. It doesn't help our situations. It doesn't help us to trust God. It really is more of our way of taking what's next away from God and putting it on ourselves. So if fear comes from worry, how do we combat it? We combat it with peace. And this is one of the things, Bob and Vicky gave a little bit of a spoiler alert on this, but this is one of the strangest or most unusual things in the Bible, this verse that's coming up. Because often we don't have a three steps to stop worrying. That's more like kind of clickbait that you see blogs do. Here's three steps to stop worrying. And then you click on it and it's ridiculous. But in this case, there is actually a three-step process in the Bible. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Or here's how you don't worry about anything. Number one, you pray about everything. Number two, you tell God what you need. And number three, you thank him for all he's done. And as a result, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So let's just walk back through that. Three steps to stop worrying. Step one, pray about everything. Step two, tell God what you need. And step three, this one's really important, thank him for all that he has done. We sometimes forget that one. We start to pray, we give God our laundry list, and then we walk away. Thanking God for what he has done is such a key part of this because it allows us to look back. It allows us to remember what he has already done. It allows us to conclude our time with a time of being thankful. It ends us on a positive note. It allows us to reflect. It's worship through reflection. If you can do these three things, then you will experience God's peace. Only $9.95. Like, that's the thing. It's right there. And it's kind of funny, but I mean, I know I've done it myself. I start to worry, and I have to walk through this process. I think, okay, no. Don't worry about it. I need to pray. I'm going to tell God what I need. I'm going to thank him for what he's done. And that peace will start to come. Now, I do have to provide a little caveat for this, which is, at least in my personal knowledge, maybe you guys are better at this than me, but it doesn't last forever. Sometimes that peace for me only lasts like a few seconds, and then I start getting worked up again, and I have to go back to the steps. And then I start worrying again, and I have to go back to the steps. Sometimes I'll repeat the cycle a dozen times, and I've had a couple of like mega issues that I've had to probably work through this cycle over 100 times on before it really, like, it lasts for a few seconds, it'll last for a minute, it'll last for an hour, and then it comes back, and I have to work through the cycle. But it does work. So guys, if you can remove that worry from your life, you are taking a huge step towards being able to trust God in the next things that come. Which means now we can go back and look at those Bible verses that we started with, the ones we read earlier about fear. Let's see how they conclude. Genesis 15:1, don't be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great. It wasn't something you had to worry about, it's something to celebrate. Joel 2:21, don't be afraid, land of Judah, for the Lord has done great things. Don't fear, there's good things coming down the road. Luke 1:30, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Matthew 28, the angel spoke to the women, don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. He has risen from the dead just as he said he would. God is and he will do what he promised. And finally, 2 Chronicles 2:15. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. You have to remember that. The battle isn't ours. It's not ours to fight. We want to fight it. We want to get in there and take some swings. We want to take it away from God. We want to fight it ourselves, but it's not our fight to fight. It's God's. And so as we look at this series and you start to wrap it up, you're seeing this doubt, this worry, this ignorance that creates this vortex. But if you also look at the answers, they combine to form a foundation. A foundation of trust in God. Here's how we work to combat fear. We have to understand we do not know everything. And then we have to accept that God does. We ask for help. We pray about everything. We remember what God has done, and then we thank him for it. I want to close this series with a passage, which is just such a great summary of all the fears and looking at what's next. It's Isaiah 40. This is verses 25 through 31, a little bit abridged for you. What it says is, you can't compare God to anyone. God doesn't have an equal. Tonight, what you need to do, go out, look at the stars. Who do you think created them? One after the next, hundreds of thousands, like an army that's just filling the skies. And God knows every single one by name. It's his great power. It's his great strength that put them in the skies and put us here today. How can you say, how can you seriously say that God doesn't see your troubles? Why would you think that God ignores your problems? I mean, haven't you heard? How can you not understand that our God is the everlasting God? He is the creator of the entire earth. You can't relate him to some human because we all have a tendency, we wear out. You think of the strongest athlete that you can imagine. His body will eventually fail him. Not God. No, he doesn't wear out. He doesn't get tired. And no one can measure how much he knows. It's absolutely impossible. Our God will give you power. He will give you power when you're weak. He will give you strength when you feel you can't make it a single step further, when you're struggling. You just have to trust in the Lord and you will find strength. You'll be uplifted. You get tired, you're worn down, you're stumbling all over the ground. No, you trust God, you'll be soaring. You'll be flying as high as the eagles in the sky. You'll be able to walk, you won't wear out. You'll be able to run all day, and you will never grow tired. Let's pray. thank you for the foundation of trust that you build, that you are a rock that we can build upon, that we can trust that you are, that you will do what you promised to do. I know that type of power just seems unbelievable. And sometimes we try to do it ourselves. God, break us of that. We are so mortal. We are fallible. We are limited. We are weak. We are ignorant. We want to do it ourselves. But you are the unstoppable God. Let us turn those next big things over to you. Let us trust you. Let us remember your goodness. Let us be thankful that you are, that you will do what you promised to do. I pray that your praise will forever be on our lips, that you will be praised, that we will praise you, that we will be grateful for who you are, that we will remember that you have done what you promised. Allow us to remember it. Allow us to praise you when our fear is losing ground. That we have a hope in you. I pray you be our foundation, that you be our rock, that you be our wisdom, that you be our hope. I thank you for salvation. I thank you that you sent your son to die for us. You did what you promised to do. I pray that we can follow that we can trust you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.